caller 10 at 800-636-1067. Congrats. You're going to win a pair of tickets to see the Capitals Friday, November 8th at Capital One Arena. They are taking on the Penguins. This is a good game to go to. We'll give these tickets away right here at 4 o'clock all week long. For tickets and the complete schedule for the Caps, visit thefandc.com/events. Danny, their five-game winning streak was snapped on Saturday. They were playing in Tampa against the Lightning. That's a good hockey team.
That is a good club. They're impressive from top to bottom.
We will discuss the Capitals a little more before we get out of here, but it is a football Monday after a Hail Mary that was heard round the nation's capital and, frankly, was the biggest story in the NFL yesterday. Sunday Night Football in America, right? Their presentation, their broadcast, Football Night in America, was the Jaden Daniels Hail Mary show. Pre-game, halftime. Mm-hmm. It was like the only thing that happened.
That's right.
They thought
there's
yesterday.
So much went around, on around the league, didn't matter.
I am okay with the coverage. It feels nice for people to say nice things about us. It's been a long time.
Yep.
With that in mind, let's get to the Beltway Blitz. We'll be covering the Commanders, football, and the Commanders. We start with our buddy Nick Ashew of BetQL Network. Nick, what were you doing when Jaden Daniels changed this fan base yesterday?
Well, I certainly ripped my pants off in celebration instantly and haven't worn pants since. So that's been the last.
You're not allowed to come on this show and dangle pantsless Nick Ashew in front of us and expect us to concentrate for the remainder of the
season. You throw some chum in the water like that.
I have been elated, goosebumps watching the highlights 100,000 times and all of the reaction of everybody on the Bears side of things and then the fan videos and more stuff keeps coming out. I was like, I thought we got everything when you see a Bears defender standing and talking to people instead of getting involved in the play. Good, like the unbelievable. Assumed every ounce of it that I possibly can. And you guys said something before you brought me on, and I think it's so true. Isn't it nice to just see the national attention for our team, and it's all good, and they're saying nice things. And, I mean, guys, there's been conversations for weeks, and it's almost been like a whisper, Jaden Daniels, MVP. He's 9-1 to win MVP now, and, like, honestly, it's not out of the realm of possibility. It's really not. They're 6-2 at the top of the division, and he doesn't look like a rookie. He looks like a poised veteran that has everybody on this team believing they can win every single game.
Nicholas, they both deserve to win the game. If you look at some of the stats and what they compile, they also deserve to lose it with some of the miscues and befuddling behavior a couple different times over. So take the euphoria of that unbelievable play aside. How do you view yesterday, aside from the miraculous ending?
I look at it as you put perfume on a really smelly turd, because Washington's offense has got to get better in the red zone. I mean, that's probably the biggest problem that they have. I mean, everything else, it just feels like it's got, again, it's obviously where we've seen more success in the red zone, but for most of that game I'm watching it, and I was thinking of the Giants game all over again. Like, normally you can't win games if you're only kicking field goals. Like, we know that, and this was the number one offense, good stretch of this season, and they didn't look like it on Sunday, but it also is a good thing, and here's the silver lining to this, and I know it was a miracle play, but it does show that they can win no matter, like, how bad it looks, right? I know it's an extreme example, but that image now is in everybody's head on this team that we are never, ever out of a game. But for the love of God, please score some touchdowns in the red zone. It'll make things a lot easier.
Nick, I was surprised how tight the rookie of the year race had gotten. You were mentioning MVP. But Jaden Daniels, Caleb Williams, two front runners at quarterback, right? But going into the game, even though Daniels has been the decidedly better rookie this year, that race had actually tightened significantly. Are you surprised Daniels isn't more, I don't want to say of a lock, but an odds-on favorite? I know we're only halfway through, but it just feels like it should be more lopsided than the odds suggest.
Well, today we've gotten to that point now. Jaden Daniels is -100 and Caleb Williams is
+950. What is Daniels today?
Jaden Daniels is -400.
Oh, so wow.
He's jumped a ton. Yes, that last night really changed everything. Caleb Williams is +950. So there's a huge gap for anybody that doesn't bet. Just know that that's a massive, massive gap between those two now. So we've started to see that separation now. But, you know, Jaden Daniels has been the better rookie, but Caleb Williams has had stretches, obviously looked but in the offense, it really looked like it was starting to click in Chicago. And it helped that coming into this game, they were 4-2. So, you know, there's all the conversation about best start for a number one overall pick as a quarterback with his team and all that. So the narratives were there. And you know how these awards markets are, right? When people are voting at the end of the year, you need to have those like memories and iconic moments and stuff that stands out. It's not just about the numbers, but that is obviously a big part of it. Jaden Daniels had one of the most in NFL history, and that's now going to stick in people's heads. So MVP race, he's going to be mentioned more and more in that conversation, which is just crazy to think.
Thank you, Nick. Keep those pants off, buddy. Appreciate you.
I'll keep them on.
That's my guy.
Or don't, right, Danny?
Either way, I'd say stay off. NFL sounder, please. Our buddy Mike Jones joins us to go around the league. But first, the story of the league last night was, of course, what Washington did. Just to walk me through that. Like, how significant was last night, Mike, for Washington?
I mean, it was huge because that stuff doesn't happen for Washington. I mean, how many years, decades have we been on the opposite end, having to write stories about devastating losses or as fans, you know, sitting like dejectedly in the stands in shock as, you know, a heartbreaking loss happens. And man, that just doesn't happen. And I couldn't believe it. I was just finishing filing my story down in Miami and I like looked up at the screen to see what was going on. And I was like, what is this? And it was in black, you know? So like, I wasn't thinking Commanders for a split second. And then I was like, wait a minute, this is Washington. I mean, it was just crazy. I was like, no, this isn't real. What? So it's huge for Washington, for the fan base. It's huge for the team because, I mean, to pull off a victory like that is just, I think that it is bigger than just 1 week. And then, obviously, them being, you know, now with 6-2, they needed a win because they think that Philly is starting to figure things out and find their stride again, and so you want to maintain your lead. It was big on multiple fronts.
Looking at the division, 7 weeks in a row now that they've been leading the NFC East, and the Cowboys are not good, and the Eagles have played a lot better the last couple of weeks. Maybe they're fine, but I don't know that they're scary or decisively better than Washington. How do you feel about their chances in the division?
I mean, I think that right now it feels like this is like a two-team race. Now, again, you don't want to like get ahead of yourselves here, but when you think about just the way that these teams are shaking out, obviously the Giants are pretty much a disaster. The Cowboys look like they're a disaster. But you never can count them out. You know, and the Eagles are the one team that you really have to worry about, I think, as far as like getting some momentum, because they look like a different team now that they've got some guys healthy again. And so, I think for Washington, the stretch here that's got the Giants, the Steelers, the Eagles, the Cowboys is going to be a real kind of a truth teller for them and will, you know, help figure out what this division is going to shape up like. But I think that they have a chance just because of the steady improvement we're seeing out of their offense, steady improvement out of their defense. Once you get to the late in the season, you know, anything could happen.
Yeah, so let's get to Philly. I was monitoring that game for my son's soccer game, so I'm watching some of the telecast. It's 17-17. Then by the time we got home, it was 37-17. They really hit the ground running there, I guess, towards the end of that game. So where do you put Philly right now this minute in kind of that NFC hierarchy? As good as Detroit has looked, Green Bay kind of eked one out yesterday, and Washington. Where are the Eagles to you in the NFC?
I don't think that they are elite, but I think that they're good, and I think that they could be dangerous. Down the stretch of the season, they could get, you know, because again, if you start getting momentum, yes, we want to see teams start off the season well, but really November and December is what matters. We saw lots of years that the Patriots would get off to slow starts in, you know, September and October, but that second half of the season when they would get the momentum and roll into the postseason, I think the Eagles could do that. But I don't see that they're better than Detroit. I don't know. We haven't seen the consistency that suggests, obviously they beat Green Bay, but I just don't see them as elite. But again, there's a lot of teams in this conference that are good, solid teams, but just not elite. Other than Detroit, I think that it's a lot of, kind of round robin
Atlanta is look like they're figuring things out, but they're not elite. The Commanders are, you know, steadily ascending. The 49ers are a team that, you know, they're just scratching and clawing their way. The NFC West is wide open. So the Eagles have as good a chance as anybody, but outside of Detroit, I don't know if anybody scares you. You feel like anybody's got a chance to knock anybody off.
Mike, thank you, buddy. We appreciate you.
All right, see you guys.
Good chatting. Let's keep it moving. And talk more about those Commanders the Monday after. One of the most improbable and unfathomable wins in team history. Kevin Sheehan is with us. Of course, you know him from his work over on the Kevin Sheehan Show, aptly named. Kevin, where were you yesterday as you're watching the game? And walk us through those final 17 or so seconds.
I was at home. I was watching it with a few people, including one of my boys. And, yeah, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I just felt like when they scored Chicago to take the lead, made the two-point conversion, it just felt like an awful loss.
Yep.
Like it was a strange loss because they had dominated so much. You had seen Chicago literally come to life in a matter of minutes after, you know, 2.5 hours of doing nothing. It reminded me of that Monday Night Miracle game from the other side, from the winning side. Well, I mean, Washington did win. But when, you know, Brunell hit Santana Moss twice in the final few minutes after being down 13-0 and showing no sign of life all night long, it's just one of those weird games, and it ends up being kind of shocking. And I just thought, God, this is a strange loss, but it's also a really bad loss because I think they just lost to a team that isn't as good as they are. You know, you kind of switch to, well, there's still 25 seconds left. You only need three. You get one big one down the middle. You call a timeout. You get another one to the sideline. Maybe we can get a field goal and force overtime. But just a wild, you know, crazy final few minutes. And I can't remember being that excited on a play or that shocked on a play in a long time.
And Kevin, to your point, it reminded me of one of those Capitals postseason losses to the Penguins, where you read the, I've read that article 20 times. They outshot, outhit, outchanced, out blah, 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 and then they didn't win the series, and they lost again, you know? It felt like one of those where it really slipped away. So take away the euphoria of the last moment, which I'm going to savor and we should enjoy until we get sick of it, which is not close to now, but the mistakes and some of the sloppiness, go into that for a game that Washington probably should have run away with.
Yeah, I mean, they had multiple drop passes. They had penalties. They had, you know, a couple of touchdowns called back. It wasn't, you know, they had 481 yards of offense. I mean, and even if you take out that final play, it's still 429, and they had 12 points to show for it. So there are always a lot of reasons for it, but it's just odd because you don't think that that's, you know, going to happen a lot. You just don't want to lose a game in which you don't, you know, take the good things that you've done and turn it into the 27 points that they probably should have scored. So yeah, they've got to clean some of that stuff up. And look, they gave up 196 yards on the ground. I mean, it wasn't all in one play. I mean, the 56 yards, you know, kind of injected, you know, life into the Bears in that moment. I think one of the things that's going to be interesting is how much was it that the defense really stepped up and played well, which I think it was. I think it was a lot of it, and how much of it was really a terrible performance by Chicago's offense through 50 minutes of the game. You know, basically, I mean, Caleb Williams had four completions for 36 yards with still 10 minutes left. With 10 minutes left of the game, I don't think I've ever seen anything like that. So there's a lot to take out of it, but it's just always nice to do it with, you know, a sixth win on the board. I mean, here we are, 6-2. Nobody had that one.
I don't even think Anthony Richardson's had one of those. It was a pretty ugly performance for three or so quarters. And then Williams did make some big-time plays down the stretch.
Yeah.
Back to Daniels. What do you make of just the 12.7 seconds of moving around? Now, I mentioned this earlier, but everyone talks about the Hail Mary as a luck play. And don't get me wrong, there's lots of luck in that conversion, but there's also a reason why Rodgers converts it at a higher rate than everyone else. There are elements to the play that matter. It is coach. There are some things you've got to execute. And I thought Daniels, by way of not only moving all over the place, but he also came back 15 yards, essentially, to get more loft and launch, to get down to the goal line, to not throw the ball out of bounds. I thought there was actually plenty of good in that play other than just, hey, let's pray that something works out.
I completely agree with you. I mean, you know, the Rodgers, when he had one, you know, a few weeks ago, was it against Buffalo, I think? You know, it was his fourth one, and there were, you know, guys were going through it. You know, it's the buying of the time and giving the guys plenty of time to get down there and get set up so that you're not, like, turning back as the ball's in the air and you're still not there. I mean, 0.79 seconds, I think, was the exact timing on how much time he created. You know, how many guys can really do that? Maybe three or four? I guess against a three-man rush, maybe more than three or four. But, you know, he's special in that ability. And then to be able to throw the ball 65 yards, but throw it up in the air where it creates kind of that jump ball situation is, you know, a skill. And I think it increases the probability of something good happening. It's still a long shot, but, you know, you did get the benefit of Chicago not playing it well. But I would bet you on a lot of those converted Hail Marys, there is a lot of, you know, skill from the offensive team included, and then a little bit of messing up on the other end, and then certainly a level of luck. But I agree with you. There is certainly more to that play than just throw it up, close your eyes, and pray.
Kevin, thank you as always, dude. Enjoy the week.
All right, guys.
That's our guy, Kevin Sheehan. We're Grant and Danny. That is your Beltway Blitz on the Fan. Do you agree with the idea that I have suggested? I want to ask Danny directly to confirm or deny here, that 6-2 is an incredible accomplishment, no doubt about that, but that this does feel like something is brewing, that there is something special happening here, or are you not willing to go there just yet? Is that a bridge too far for you? Let's just continue to go week to week with this thing. Grant and Danny on the Fan.
He's had a couple throws today, maybe the injury.
Barry was way up there. Here's 3rd and 9 and a deep ball. Right back to McLaurin in stride. And he's down at about the 17-yard line.
I told you he has no issues throwing it accurately.
G&D, welcoming you back on the Fan. Jay Gruden's on the show in a half hour. We are with you until 6:30 tonight. Thank you for making the program part of your day. The show's going to be on the road again on Friday. We should let everybody know we made the announcement on Friday afternoon where we'll be this week. But in case you missed it, Fairfax, we are coming for you. Stop number 3 of the Friday Field Trip Series, Craft House Fairfax, on November 1st, coming up this Friday. We had a massive turnout in Leesburg.
We did.
It was tremendous. We had a really, really good turnout in Manassas. We're 2 for 2.
We did.
We have had tons of fans come out to each of these two events over these first two Fridays. So, Craft House, Fairfax, Friday, stop number 3. No pressure, Fairfax.
But some pressure.
We consider you, if I could use a political term, closing in on the election, a bit of a stronghold, Fairfax.
Mm.
And by the way, I agree with whatever you guys do.
You know what I hate is the thing you hate.
It's funny that I'm voting for the exact same person of you.
Down the line, your opinions match mine.
Every person you bubble in on the ballot?
All of them.
Me too.
Same. Edem. So listen, I'm a Fairfax resident. Don't you screw me on this one, Fairfax.
Welcome back to Virginia, by the way.
Virginia's doing great. Just they should tax more things.
But welcome back to Virginia.
I'm happy to be here, but we got speed cameras now. Listen, Fairfax, don't screw me on this one. You hear me? This is Fairfax resident Fannie Mouye, a.k.a. Ranald Douye. All right? Don't screw me on this one. Palace Way, Fairfax, for Craft House. That's where we're going.
Cannot wait for Friday. These have turned into mini pep rallies.
Seriously, that's what. Sorry,
it's kind of what happens.
Yeah,
the team keeps winning. Everybody thinks they're gonna win again.
Everyone has an adult soda. It's like they're gonna win 77-2. It's
good.
They do. Kind
Bring
of.
It on.
Yep.
I don't want to pretend like 6-2 is easy because nobody knows better than us here in DC. 6-2 is not an easy thing. That's an accomplishment. It should be treated as such. Washington has not been 6-2 since 2008. On top of that, they're on their way, it looks like, to double-digit wins and a playoff berth. It would now be very surprising if Washington didn't make the playoffs. And that's not a, oh, settle down, Grant, it's too early. It's not week 3. It's not week 5. We're talking about week 9 of an 18-week season. We're about the midway point after this coming week. And on top of that, the 77% likeliness to make the playoffs in some of the algorithms that the analytics site do say it's perfectly reasonable to say the expectation should now be the playoffs. Because, Danny, respectfully,
yeah,
for all the people that decided this was going to be a 4, 5, 6-win year, whatever they thought, and let's just monitor the quarterback, let's see at the end of the year what we think of Jaden Daniels, maybe we can decide once and for all if he's the guy, or whatever that is, cool, time to reassess. You figured the first part out.
Yeah, sorry. We're here.
He looks like the guy, and they've already got their 6 wins that a lot of people rejected them for. I had them at 7-2. That would mean they go 1 for the rest of their season. You now have to change the sight line. You do.
Yeah. And they've earned that, right? And you give them credit for it. So just looking at talent, I mean, who knew this everything would fit so perfectly? Who knew that the rhetoric about culture and brotherhood, the type of things, quite frankly, around here we roll our eyes at? Every coach has come in and given that pep rally speech. Every coach has cut that promo. Right, Eric Bieniemy's opening presser, where he's like shaking Terry McLaurin's hand after the fact, and there's camera footage of him talking about how they're going to do these great things together, and everyone watching it gets chills, I'm sure, right? I mean, everybody said the same thing. Joe Witt wants to arrive violently. The guy before wants to announce his presence with authority. The guy before that wanted to attack downhill. The guy before that said, we're going to dictate to our opponent. We're going to be tough. We're going to play physical and fast. Everybody said the same crap. So forgive us if it rolls out one ear and through the other, whatever the expression is. Forgive us if we're not trusting at this point. And so looking at the talent, looking at some things where you go, okay, maybe they're really pushing all in for future years. Anybody who knew that it would go this well should be buying lottery tickets and retiring on an island tomorrow, right? The fact is, you're here. You don't apologize for it. You go kick ass. You go straight what Dan Quinn says, and you put the word ASS in front of nearly everything, and it works somehow. You know, it's awesome. It's going so well, and that's kind of the point here.
Being at that stadium yesterday, everything feels different.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, everything is different. I don't think that's figurative. I think that's literal. What I mean by that is I'm watching a team at Northwest Stadium, not FedEx Field.
Right.
That's named the Commanders, right? Not the Redskins. That's wearing black and yellow. I guess gold. Should I say gold? Looks kind of yellow.
It's yellowing.
But wearing black and gold, we'll call it. Not burgundy and gold. Owned by Josh Harris and Mitch Rales and that group of hogs. Not Dan Snyder. Run by Adam Peters as general manager. Not Goose Allen and all the other Ham and Egger, 9-to-5 jobbers that came before him. Coached by Dan Quinn, not Ron Rivera. Quarterbacked by Jaden Daniels, not the litany of jabronis that have tried out the position and tried it on for size over the last several years. I mean, it is actually different, truly. There was a moment at the stadium yesterday. If you guys were at the game, you felt this, you saw this, you lived this like I did. I don't know if you guys saw this because it was in a stoppage on the broadcast at all. The lights completely went out in the stadium. And it felt for a moment like, oh no, the power just went out. That's literally what I thought.
Uh-huh.
All the lights went dark in the stadium like they do at so many other indoor facilities now. And even here at Nats Park this year, they got their brand new LED lights, so they're able to do this for the first time. The Nats and the A's were the last two teams in Major League Baseball without those lights. And they do the big cool red light show when someone hits a home run now and it goes dark and flashes. It's awesome. It really adds to the experience. They have never at that stadium done that, to the point where I just texted someone to try to figure out, was there a new tech that they got in season? Was, you know, there a new addition to the LED lights this year? And this is the first time at night that it's either been dark enough or close enough in a game or both where the Venn diagram worked and that center was, let's do it right now.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it was honestly correlated to the blackout and them wearing black. I'm not really sure. But they've never done what they did. They basically turn the lights off and then they do like a light show and the ribbon board. It was awesome. Like fans were kind of looking around. And the first thought, Danny, was, of course,
oh, no.
They lost power. Somebody plugged something in, and there was one too many things in sockets.
FedEx done happened again.
And we just got FedExed. And then right away, the light show starts, and the music starts blaring, and everyone's like, wait, they're doing this on purpose. Wait, this is a light show. Wait, this is like what they do at college games that are fun to go to. The whole thing's different. And it's starting to feel like, I don't know what's changed. It certainly couldn't be that Dan Snyder doesn't own the team anymore, and that's lifted. But something's changed, and the football gods are smiling down on the boys a little more often.
There's no other way to describe that. That elusive thing that the previous mouthpiece, old Larry Michael, used to talk about, skins tangibles, that stupid made-up term. But what we're really looking for is the thing you can't explain.
Right? Right, which is an easy thing to dismiss because it is not tangible or real.
Right. So, as somebody,
it's one of those, you know it when you feel it.
100%. As somebody that I love information so much, we should never hide from information, even if it doesn't help your case. Information is lovely. It is so wonderful. We should always be welcoming more of it. This can't be put onto a spreadsheet. It can't be put into the food that you consume or the analytics of football that Ron Rivera tried to read to study up. You can't figure it out. There's that magical needle, right, as it's moving on the scale. And it's hard to keep it in that zone because if you get too overconfident, then you get out of the zone. If you sort of don't do all the work that it takes to stay right there or you have a key injury, then you get out of the zone. But when you're in that special spot where the needle isn't really moving, it's in that magical little green space, and you get this, the catchphrase, the rhetoric, it's real this time. It's working. It's not just something they say, it's real. And when I don't know if it starts real and then you win, or it's not real until you win. However you got here, you're here. You're in this place where all the cheesy lines and things that make you roll your eyes on the way to 5-12 is now happening for a 6-2 team, where there's this belief, there's this us against everybody else, there's this
bumpy roads lead to beautiful places.
It's the perfect storm of, we're not sitting here puffing our chests out. Because, I mean, remember several regimes ago when I guess they were, 9-8, 7-1, and everyone was mad because Scott McLuhan was getting credit. You're mad that someone else is getting credit for your mediocre record?
Yeah, it's a toxic culture.
But you know what I mean?
Awful. And that's what they did. People hired folks that were non-threatening. They didn't want to give up spotlight. They didn't want someone else to overshadow them. And they wanted to get the credit when it was good, and they'd pass off the blame when it was bad. But the reason I said beautiful places, bumpy roads, or whatever that Dave Martinez line was, that's so cheesy and awful.
Yeah.
But it just became the mantra of the World Series team.
Stay in the fight or whatever. Does that mean a swing at the 2-0 pitch or not?
But that kind of thing is happening here right now, where you kind of know it when you see it, Danny, with teams that are super tight-knit,
yep,
that love each other, that play for one another, see it in baseball or whatever. This is happening. I posted a video today at Grant H. Paulson of Bobby Wagner and Frankie Louvu waiting patiently as Tracy Wolfson finishes her interview, because they're pros. And in Wagner's case, the guy's been around and is just a leader of men, right? And they're waiting there, and Daniels finishes interview, and they start dapping him up, and they're yelling, I don't remember what it was, but like, you the champ, you're the best, whatever.
Great job, like, Jaden.
These guys love each other. They love Dan Quinn. They have built, you're right about the brotherhood thing, that whatever that is kind of cringy to me. Like, it's so real when it's real, and it's happening in front of our eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also a thing. I always joke about the Tom Brady horseshoe. There are winners that just have a thing where, this will sound silly, but it's like this special quality where good things happen for them, to them, with them. It sounds like it's dismissive. It's not.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to be great to be in the position. You have to do a lot of things well. But, like, that Hail Mary has never happened before. And respectfully to Jaden Daniels, we've talked about it all day, who did a lot of amazing things. You just get those 52 yards, that touchdown, and the big win, and you're the mayor of the town. If it falls to the ground, you just lose a game you should have won. they have the guy, it seems like, that has the pixie dust.
Yeah, when Derek Jeter gets jammed and hits a flare, it's a double that's going to win the World Series. When everyone else does it, it's a broken bat and you're a footnote.
But
you know what I mean? Like, it's a thing!
We have the guy where the ball falls in, man.
Yes!
And I want to know if people are starting to feel that. Do you sense that something special could be brewing here? And I don't just mean imminently, like they're going to win the Super Bowl this year or something crazy. I'm just saying that maybe it's coming together. Maybe they got this whole thing right. From the quarterback and the coach and the family and the whole situation? Or are we just high on whatever yesterday was? That ecstasy, that joy, and it's 6-2 and it's a good start, but let's all settle down. 800-636-1067 is the number you want to hop in on Grant and Danny.
Comes down to one last play, and it's going to be getting longer by the second. You're all the way back at the 30-yard line. Now you can step into it. Here comes the Hail Mary with the game on the line, and the ball is caught! Caught! It's a miracle! It's Noah Brown! Oh, my goodness! Town is going crazy!
Dad's been working on a montage of the Hail Mary play that we'll unveil after Jay Gruden joins us to start next hour. Jay, top of the hour right at 5, coming up in about 10 minutes. We're Grant and Danny on the Fan. What a win for Washington. They are 6-2. They're in first place. They're one of the top clubs in the conference. And even when they're down and not yet across midfield, with just 2 seconds to go, you can't beat them.
That's, you know, when they've mismanaged timeouts, have a first down incompletion, and are 70 yards away, they got it.
Got to drive a stake through them. They are tough to kill. Question for you guys is, does this start to feel special? The way this kid quarterback's playing, year one of this regime where all the players seem to really love this staff, be buying in, coming together. Let's go to Phil in Clifton on the Fan. Hey, Phil.
Hi. I've been a fan for 70 years. I've been following the Redskins year in and year out and the Commanders. And I don't think it's a fluke because there's a lot of good play going on, not just the quarterback. And it's a very physical team, and it's a very They're always upbeat, exciting. There's so much energy, you can actually feel it just watching it. I must say, I did not think Daniels would be as good as he is, but he is a remarkable athlete, and he just has fantastic instincts. And for a guy his age, he reminds me, I don't want to say he's as good as Patrick Mahomes, but he has the same kind of basic instincts that just a lot of guys you just don't have. It just comes natural.
Like poised, that play where there's someone chasing him from behind, and he's like, wait. Now I'll do this little hurdle step thing where it's like he knew exactly when the guy was diving for him.
He's got feel, yeah.
When he's directly behind him. It's just like, who taught you that? That's beyond genius. But his point, though, about physicality, 100% right. They're actually doing what they said they were going
to
do.
Let's go to Zeus in Fort Washington. It's a good point because that was there. That's like with that's the commander tag. Yeah. The commander way. This is how we want to do it. Zeus, what's up?
Good afternoon, Grant. Danny.
Buddy.
It's your resident Philadelphia Eagles fan. How's it going, fellas?
Good, buddy.
Good. What's good?
Well, here's what I want to say. It does feel special, but I'm going to tell you why. It really does start with the ownership and the leadership. And not so much from the Dan Snyder perspective, as much as you have ownership in place that has the idea of what it takes to build a winning organization. These are guys that are familiar with building sports franchises that are built to win. They've customized this organization in such a way where the team now feels like a team instead of just a bunch of guys that you're just plucking up off the street. So when you have the players in the locker room saying that as long as we have this guy under center, we know we can win, and they gel around that, yeah, it's going to feel different. And I've always said the NFL is always as good as the NFC East is good, and I feel like we're on our way there. So congratulations on the win. I expect to see big things out of Washington, and Philadelphia's going to see y'all in a few weeks.
Yeah, can't wait. It's going to be fun, and thank you for the call.
Yeah, I like that game will have meaning.
There have been a couple of times over the last even handful of years where I felt like the team was super tight-knit and coming together and really becoming close. But even in those instances, when the quarterback situation is not squared away, it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, it's like the in Major League, when the worst team in baseball is purposefully assembled, has to go on a great streak at the end. These are 3-6 teams that have to do something special. You're 4-5 or whatever. You're in that spot where you have to win, and you do. Nothing sustainable about it.
When your owner's situation
yeah.
is incompetent and incapable and toxic and a detriment, then it doesn't matter. When you don't have a GM and you don't have a front office and you're not building anything sustainable with player eval, then it doesn't matter. They've cleaned all those things up. You know, the four, I always talk about them as pillars holding up a house that is a football organization, a sports team. It's ownership. It's the GM, the head coach, and the quarterback. It's all brand new. And they might have really done well in all four areas. It's certainly looking that way. Let's go to Ken in Fairfax. What's up, Ken?
Hey, guys, great show. I just wanted to say I'm a lifelong Pats fan, and I grew up in the dark years for 30 years until Brady showed up. And when he showed up, he obviously a talented guy, but you started to see little things happen that didn't happen for other players. And I see the same thing with Jaden, man. He's little things happening. It looks like luck, but it's not, I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm.
Some guys have this mystique or something, aura surrounds them, and some guys don't. And I see it with him, and it's an exciting future here. I hope it continues just like it did for Brady.
You said it in a different way than I did, but that's kind of what I'm getting at, right? I always refer to Brady as the luckiest. I think he was one of the greatest ever. But you create your own luck in so many ways.
You're in good spots. There's a chance for good things to happen.
Exactly. And some guys do have that. I always jokingly tell the story of this family friend who, was just this guy that things always worked out for. And one time he was following an ambulance and through traffic. And he was like getting somewhere behind this ambulance. And a cop pulls him over. He's like, "You cannot do that. What the heck were you doing?" And he's like, "I was following the ambulance." The cop's like, "Oh, I'm sorry, sir. Like, go ahead." Now, he never said that he was supposed to be following
right,
the ambulance.
Right, as if to say, there's a loved one
and
in there.
He didn't get a ticket. You know, if it's me, I get a ticket and probably in some big trouble. Andre Manassas, want to squeeze you in real quick ahead of Jay Gruden. Be quick. What do you got, buddy?
Hey, very quickly. I mean, I love the team. I love what happened. I'm so excited. I think the team is a great team. Are they special? I'm not yet. I mean, listen, one of the greatest things I like to do is I think the Germans have a word. Is it Schadenfreude? Because of the Odyssey,
yes.
I go to listen to other sports towns when they lose. Too bad I'm a Commanders fan because I don't have a chance to do too much. But you listen to Chicago Sports Talk Radio and you understand the number of errors that the Chicago team did in those 26 seconds. You realize that our boy Sweat was not even in the game for the last play, your best pass rusher. And that's just one of the egregious mistakes that they did. So, I'm happy we won. I mean, I made noise just like everybody else. I think, luck is people define luck when opportunity meets preparedness. We were prepared, but when you realize how unprepared the Bears were for that particular moment in time.
No doubt.
Oh, sure. That's the other side of the coin.
The coaching discrepancy
100%.
At the end of the game was very, very stark.
100%.
Pretty obvious, I'd say. It's a good point, though. When I say something special feels like it's brewing, I don't mean they feel elite or unbeatable, although right now I'd be pretty confident in them playing anybody the way things have been trending. What I mean by that is it just feels like they've got something going for them that they normally don't, where things are just working out at a higher clip. Part of that is because you're good, but part of that is are you getting some of those bounces? Let's talk to Jay Gruden. He was the head coach here in D.C. the last time Washington had a chance to string any kind of success together. They almost made the playoffs back-to-back years when he was the head coach. Is he feeling that same thing? We're Grant and Danny on the Fan.